The epistle is from the Revelation to St. John, chapter 21. Then came one of the seven angels, who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues, and spoke to me, saying, "Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great high mountain, and showed me the holy city Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, its radiance like a most rare jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal. It had a great high wall with 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and on the gates the names of the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel were inscribed. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls, each of the gates made of a single pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, transparent as glass. And I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God the Almighty and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb. By its light will the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it, and its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. They will bring into it the glory and the honor of the nations, but nothing unclean will ever enter it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. This is the word of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. Our text this morning picks up where the second reading last Sunday left off. Or perhaps I should say, resumes where the reading last Sunday was interrupted. A week ago we heard St. John begin, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." John then reported a voice coming from the throne, announcing that from now on the dwelling of God is with man, and that death and mourning and crying and pain are all done, finished, no longer to be experienced anymore, forever. This was followed by a further word from the throne, commanding John to write down what he was seeing, promising the water of life without payment, and that the one who conquers will have this heritage, namely, "I will be his God, and he will be my son." Now, with the words from the throne complete, an angel invites the apostle, "Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." And John is transported in the Spirit to a vantage point from which he witnesses the holy city coming down from out of heaven from God. The holy city, the new Jerusalem, is the bride, the wife of the Lamb. It's easy in hearing the description of the New Jerusalem to get caught up in all the details listed and miss this key fact. Yet not only was New Jerusalem described at the beginning of this chapter as coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband, in today's reading, the angel tells John that he will show him the bride, the wife of the Lamb, and promptly shows him the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and almost indescribable radiance. Make no mistake, the holy city, the New Jerusalem, is the bride, the wife of the Lamb, the church in glory. Earlier in his letter to the Ephesians, as he taught about husbands and wives, St. Paul had paralleled their relationship with Christ and the church. You probably recall his instruction. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. What John is given to see in the Revelation, what he describes in today's text, is the church in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, holy and without blemish. In his letter to the Ephesians, St. Paul didn't describe the church as the bride of Christ, but he quoted from Genesis 2. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. And then amazingly, he continued, this mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. The holy city St. John sees coming down out of heaven from God is the bride of the Lamb, the church. You would never imagine it, seeing the church oppressed by schisms rent asunder, by heresies distressed. From our vantage point, the church seems to be no prize catch. And considering of what the church consists, its constituent parts, that's really no surprise. After all, there isn't a member of the church who isn't a vile sinner, an inveterate rebel against God. Take a good look at yourself in the mirror of God's law, and you'll see that it's true. You deserve nothing from God except punishment now and throughout eternity. That would seem to indicate that the New Jerusalem can't be the church. After all, in describing the Jerusalem that came down out of heaven from God, John writes, nothing unclean will ever enter it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. How can this be? That would surely mean that you and I must be barred from the city. After all, you can't claim to be clean, can you? Completely free from any stain or blemish of sin? Isn't it the case that to your shame, you have to admit that you've done things that are detestable and false? And not just once or twice, mind you. So does that mean that you're destined to spend eternity in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death? Blessedly, the answer is no. Not if you've received the washing of holy baptism. Not if you've been absolved of your sin. Not if you've drunk Jesus' blood of the New Testament, which he shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Not if you rely on Jesus' blood and righteousness for your standing before God. By these means, through faith in their promises, you have been sanctified. You have been cleansed. Your robe has been washed and made white in the blood of the Lamb. Though by what you have done and by what you have left undone, you have most certainly earned death and damnation. But St. Paul has written applies to you. Because you are in Christ Jesus, there is now no condemnation for you. on the basis of Jesus' righteousness for you. In his mercy and grace, God has written your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. All of this is included in that little word John heard, prepared. The Jerusalem he saw coming down out of heaven from God was prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. In this case, prepared by her husband Jesus, who gave himself up for her on a cross, taking all of her sin as his own in order to sanctify her, who then cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, holy baptism, in order to present her to himself in splendor without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, completely holy and without any blemish whatsoever. And now John describes the bride in all her finery. And what a sight she is. Of course, we're used to seeing a bride processing to the altar, or beside her new husband smiling radiantly for pictures. Thus, the fact that the bride that John describes is a city is a bit jarring. Yet as we consider the details he gives, they're quite fitting. The city is virtually transparent. Even the gold with which the street is paved is described as transparent as glass. This means that the glory of God, described often in the scriptures as a bright light, shines through the church, giving her a radiance that approaches Christ's own. Describing something that seems almost beyond the limits of human speech to convey, John compares the glory of the city to the way a faceted jewel shines radiantly in bright light. That we are correct in identifying this Jerusalem as the church is confirmed in the names of one of the 12 sons of Israel on each of the 12 gates, and the 12 foundations of the city, each bearing the name of one of the apostles of the Lord. That is, Old Testament and New Testament believers united in one place. Gates facing each point of the compass reflect that the church is made up of believers from every nation and every tribe and every people and every language. Perhaps the most astonishing thing, St. John writes in this astonishing description, is that the city has no temple, no church. If there were a city on earth without a place of worship, we would consider it a godless place. But not so the New Jerusalem. The reason it has no temple is that its temple is the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb. There's no need for a house of God when God is intimately present in the city and with each one of its residents. Remember what the voice from the throne said. The dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them and they will be his people, his sons. And God himself will be with them as their God. And he will wipe every tear from their eyes. The light for this transparent city is the glory of God. And its lamp is the Lamb. And nothing ever interrupts the church's experiencing of the glory of God, for there will be no night there. And those great gates of pearl, they're never closed. There won't be any enemies there to keep out, no attackers to repel. What an amazing, glorious picture St. John paints for us. And it's a portrait of your future as one whom the Lord has redeemed, has made his own child and an heir of heaven. By God's mercy in Jesus Christ, in the end, you will be among that great multitude that no one can count, coming out of heaven from God, prepared to celebrate forever your oneness with Jesus, the Lamb who was slain to prepare a place for you in his Father's house, and who is now alive forevermore. Truly, a glorious future awaits you for all eternity. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting. Amen.